Morning. I am joined this morning by Master Gardener Teresa Rooney, doing all the heavy lifting, answering all those lawn and garden questions this morning, and I know we're going to have another busy hour. Good morning, Teresa.
Good morning, Denny. It's wonderful to be here with you.
I can kind of hear you. Kind of soft today.
Did it get soft again? I didn't.
Maybe. I think we're okay.
All right.
I think we're okay. Let's right off the bat, let's invite our listeners to join in. In fact, we're already getting text, which is not unusual. Call Teresa or send a text, whichever is easier, with any kind of a lawn or garden question you might have this morning. 651-461-9226. 651-461-9226. Could have a few scattered showers, like yesterday, as a matter of fact. But we should see maybe sunshine by tomorrow. But in the meantime, we welcome your smart garden questions for Teresa. What's on your schedule today, Master Gardener Teresa?
I'm taking a very easy kind of quiet day today. I'm not going to do much. I may wander around. I've got a few grasses that need to be planted, and I've been putting it off. So maybe I'll jump in just before the showers come and let Mother Nature water them in for me.
That's a good idea. A texter actually sent a text earlier this morning, and it's talked about. I'm not seeing it this year, fortunately, but my tomatoes, texter says, are cracking around the top by the stem. What could be the problem?
What happens when tomatoes crack like that is they've gotten a sudden influx of water and they've grown so fast that the skins can't stretch and grow fast enough. So they actually crack. It's kind of like if you put ice or put water in the freezer in a plastic container, it could crack because it expands. The tomatoes are just expanding so fast. There's not much you can really do. Harvest them if they're near ripe and use them quickly. Cut out any parts that look bad. That's about all you can really do. And if you can then make sure that the watering becomes a little more even. And sometimes with our heavy rains, you can't do that. So we just do the best we can.
Absolutely. Again, 651-461-9226. Let's take a phone call. Todd calling in from Ramsey this morning. Todd, good morning. You're on with Teresa.
Good morning. We've had some beautiful sunflowers growing in our yard this year. They got up to about, they were all flowered. There were some of them were 6 or more feet tall. And I came out yesterday morning and the flowers were gone, completely gone from the very tops of the sunflowers. I couldn't find them on the ground or anywhere nearby. What happened?
It could be raccoons at night have taken them. Squirrels can also take them if they're small enough. But I would say it's probably a raccoon or something that did that. I don't think the deer would do that. But raccoons and sometimes, you know, the squirrels and the chippies can take the flowers off. They just snip them off and then drag them away to eat all the seeds in a secret place where you can't steal the seeds from them.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah,
those wily raccoons, you're probably right.
Those crazy critters, yeah, they kind of get a little wacky sometimes. But, I mean, because the sunflowers are high in protein, and they might not be ripe yet, but the animals don't always wait till things are ripe. And we had such a mild winter that we have a high pest population pressure. So we're seeing some damage that we might not normally see. There's a lot of food out there, but there's also a lot of critters out there because their numbers weren't backed off a little bit over the winter time.
All right. Texter says this. When is the best time to transfer perennials like Asian lilies?
Okay. So if they're not blooming, that's a really good time. You want to do it and you want to get them in, say, by the 20th of September into being transplanted. Now, I said I was going to do some grasses today. I probably won't because I'm lazy. I'll probably wait for a little cooler weather, maybe in 3 weeks or something like that. They're just in their containers right now. But you don't want to do it when it's super hot because that means you're stressed and the plants are stressed and it's hard for them then to get into their new situation and grow their roots. Also, the sun, the heat is really hard on the plants. So do it when the plant is not blooming. Do it after it blooms, if you possibly can. And then do it when the weather's a little cooler. Hazy afternoons are great. Dig the hole, fill the hole with water. Let the water drain out. This way you've saturated the soil around where you're going to plant. Put your plant in the new hole at the right depth, backfill, and then give it another good drink of water and just watch it. Kind of take care of it carefully for this year. Think of it as a brand new plant this year, even though you've just transplanted it. It's a brand new plant, so if you normally do winter protection for those new plants, do winter protection for that plant this year. And also protect it from rabbits and squirrels and things like that.
All right. Master Gardener Teresa Rooney answering those questions here on our Smart Garden Show this morning. This listener says this via text. Have you heard of using the water that you cook sweet corn and other vegetables to water your plants?
That's an excellent thing to do if you have not salted the water. Because as we boil our vegetables or just get them a little bit softer, some of the nutrition in the vegetable does leach into the water. So then you can be putting that water into the soil. However, if you put salt in the water, you would not want to use that in your garden. That's like putting salt in your garden, and it could sterilize your soil.
Well, that's a good point. Yeah, don't salt the water. I tell you what, I'm getting signal here. We need to take a quick break. Invite our listeners to join in as usual. Any kind of a lawn or garden question for Master Gardener Teresa Rooney this morning at 651-461-9226. From News Talk 830, this is WCCO. Had a good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show here every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour. This morning, Master Gardener Teresa Rooney answering those lawn and garden questions either by phone or by text, 651-461-9226. Speaking of phones, Teresa, we've got callers. Let's see how many folks we can help out before we jump back to the text messages. Gene calling in from Egan this morning. Gene, thank you. What is your question?
Good morning. I have a question about a couple of plants in front of our house. Three of these bright gold Japanese yew and one north wind Japanese maple. They're all meant to stay small, but they're in danger of growing up in front of our window. So I want to know about pruning those. How do you prune a bright gold Japanese yew, and how would you prune a north wind Japanese maple?
Okay, Gene, what you want to do is you want to prune them as quickly as you can. It would have been, the 1st of August is normally when we stop our pruning, but yews can be pruned or sheared pretty easily. So just prune them back to size, maybe just a little undersized for your yews. The maple, too, prune that as quickly as possible. And you can do that up until, say, like the 1st of August. I'll give you a pass and do it right away this weekend if you can. Just prune them to shape. Try to prune the yews back to where you can't see the cut. So you wouldn't leave like a stick sticking out. You'd prune it back to where there's a branch that could cover it or where it's already dividing. And that just kind of prune it that way. That will really help keep those in size. And understand they're supposed to be small, but they don't stop growing after, say, 5 years. They keep growing forever as long as they're alive. So you will have to keep pruning them every year. But yews and maples are easily pruned and easily kept to size if you keep on top of it. Good luck, Gene.
Oh, very good. Pat is calling in this morning, I believe, from Maple Grove. Good morning to you, Pat. What is your question?
Good morning. Yes, I've got lilacs all around the perimeter of my yard and back, and they've always been beautiful. And now they have some kind of, I don't know, they're turning brown. And somebody told me that there is a fungus out there for lilacs right now. And I was just wondering what I can do to make sure they come back next year healthy.
There's a bacterial leaf disease that we're seeing out there. It's like a fungus because we've had a lot of wet weather and our lilacs were stressed. We saw some a few years ago, but our lilacs were stressed from the drought from the previous years. Just clean up the dead leaves as best as you can. You can throw them in the garbage if you want, or you can send them to the city compost. But you can also go to the Extension website, extension.umn.edu. I believe they have some articles there. And the University of Wisconsin also has some articles, I believe, on the lilac, the bacterial leaf spot that we're seeing. The leaves do turn kind of brown, and then they unblack and they fall off. Normally, the plants are going to be fine. If there's any dead wood, you can prune that out. You wouldn't want to do any pruning on your lilacs now for live wood, because you could be cutting off next year's flowers. So they should be happy and healthy next year. Hopefully, they should recover nicely. Just clean up and try to get all those leaves out of there if you possibly can. Good luck on that.
You mentioned the UMM Extension website, and I'm looking at a text that says the lawn care calendar, which is great, by the way, on that Extension website says, now is a good time to aerate. Texter also read on the website, I should soak the lawn with about an inch of water a few days before being aerated. You think it's a good idea, and do you have any other tips? Aeration's great, though.
Aeration is really great if your lawn is compacted, which happens if you've never aerated your lawn before, or if you have children or dogs or pets, or you're running on it all the time. That really compacts the soil. You want that soil a little fluffier so that the grass can grow more easily and look more lush for you. So yes, you would want to water first really well. You want those roots as hydrated as possible. And also then that helps the aeration plugs when you pull them out of the ground to stay a little firm as you pull them out of the ground. Then it will look like you had a cigar party out on your yard or goose droppings all over your yard. It'll look kind of awful for a little while because all these little plugs will be out there, so these little bits of soil. But then they'll break down and the nutrients in them will then fertilize the lawn that is there. So it's a very gentle fertilizer. But it also just removes some of the soil so that the ground can actually relax a little bit.
And breathe.
And that's what we want. So definitely I would look at the extension calendar. And if it's going to be a really hot day, I mean, we're only supposed to get like 82, 83. We're Minnesotans. We can handle that. Well, most of you can. I can't. But most Minnesotans can handle that kind of weather. But when we start getting into the upper 80s and the 90s, you don't want to be doing anything in your yard that's going to stress you or the plants. So if it's not stressful for you, go ahead and do it. But, yep, watering the lawn first is always helpful.
Yeah, good idea. Yep. Grabbing a phone call, Monica is calling in from Bloomington this morning. Monica, thank you for your call. What's your question for Teresa?
Well, good morning. My question is red clover. About a week and a half ago, I found red clover. Well, I didn't know it was red clover. It's on the edge of our lawn, just right at the curb. And I thought it was an allium at first because the flower was so big. But my iPhone identified it as red clover. And I'd like to transplant that into a pot. I know that sounds kind of funny, but because most people probably think that's a weed. Mm-hmm. But I'd like to transplant it. And I'm just wondering, would I put it in dirt because it's already growing in dirt? Or do I treat it and put it in potting soil? Or do you think it would survive?
If you're going to put it in a pot, I use potting soil. So dig up as much of the root and the plant as you can. You don't have to take the soil off, but then in the container, use potting soil. That will help the plant to be able to get over to that potting soil. All dirt in a container gets too hard. It doesn't stay fluffy. Understand that it won't live that long in your container. It probably won't live over winter. But, yep, go ahead and do it. It's a pretty plant. I think it's a beautiful plant, and the bees love it. So I'd say go ahead and try it. Maybe treat it as an annual. If you want, you can then transplant it back into the ground in by the end of September, and hopefully it'll take and live over, and then you can pull it up again next year. Good luck with that.
Teresa, as you know, we often recommend in certain circumstances checking out a skilled arborist. Question is, where do you find one?
Okay, so what you want to do is just Google, first of all, talk to your neighbors who have had any tree service done. Find out who they used and if they like it. I believe the Extension website also has information about how to go about to find a certified arborist. The university will not recommend arborist A or arborist B, but they'll tell you the process of how to do it. You can also, I was going to say, look at the yellow pages. Nobody has yellow pages there. You all know I'm from another century there. Just look online, Google tree care in your city, and then look for certified arborists. Talk to a few, get a feeling about how they are. If they have any references, use that. But look for ones that say certified arborist. That's what you're looking for. Good luck with
Yellow
that.
Pages. Yellow, yes. Let your fingers do the walking. Remember that?
On the Google, yes. We don't have Yellow Pages anymore.
Not anymore.
Yes, not anymore.
All right. Hang on, Teresa. We're going to take a break. Have a look at that forecast. See what this coming week's weather promises to be. In the meantime, we'll have about another half hour of our Smart Garden show to go. Call or text 651-461-9226. From News Talk 830 WCCO. And welcome back to our Smart Garden Show here every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour. This morning, Master Gardener Teresa Rooney is answering those questions. And you know what I might be doing one of these days, and I hope our listeners do too, is get to the Arboretum.
Go to the Arboretum. It's so much fun. There's so much going on. This time of year, if I go, I head out to the 3 Mile Drive, and I go to the grass garden because I just love the ornamental grasses and just sit there and listen to it. But the prairie's looking good. There's all kinds of beautiful roses in bloom and dahlias. If you don't get to see any dahlias at the state fair, sorry. You could go out to the Arboretum and look at dahlias. There's just so much going on. They have great classes. They have art, sculptures. It's just amazing what you can do. There's tours. There's everything at the Arb. So go to the Arboretum. You know, walk the paths. Walk 3 Mile Drive. Drive 3 Mile Drive. Enjoy the mazes. It's amazing.
Oh, it's a great place. Love it.
It is.
I'm going to grab a text message, and then we'll get back to some more phone calls. Texter wants to know, is it safe to trim burning bushes now?
I think you could trim them now. I would double-check with extension.umn.edu. Most of the trimming you wanted to get done in the earlier part of August, because when you trim a plant, that causes chemicals to react, and then the plant starts to seal off that wound, or in some cases, it starts to actually put new growth on there. And then instead of using that energy to bulk up its root stores for the winter, it's putting on new growth that's going to be kind of tender and may or may not make it through the winter. So that's why we want it to prune earlier. But go ahead, do the pruning that you need to do as quickly as possible, as minimal as possible, and then double check with the extension website.
All right, good idea. Back to the phones we go. I think Joni's first up here, calling in from, Joni's gone. Let's talk to Jeff in St. Cloud. Jeff in St. Cloud, good morning. What is your question, please?
Good morning. I got a lily beetle problem. We bought some lilies and that stuff, and they were beautiful, and we didn't know anything about the beetle. And then later on, we noticed that our plants were just devastated. They looked dark, and I guess my question, I bought some spray, but I think it was too late. Will my lilies come back next year?
They may or may not come back next year. We're just starting to see the lily beetle here, unfortunately. My sister even got it. She did all her resource and all her checking. She did a really good job at that, though. She didn't even ask me first, but she figured it out. But the extension service over in Wisconsin has a really good page on lily beetles. So you can Google lily beetles Wisconsin University and find some information. Lily beetles have a lot of life cycles. They don't just reproduce once. They reproduce many life cycles during the season. I'm saying that wrong, but so they'll lay eggs and die, and there's just a lot of them. They are very devastating to the lilies. So clean up as much as you can. They lay their eggs in the soil, I believe. Just try to stay on top of it, and hopefully then do read that page over at the Wisconsin University on lily beetles, and good luck. Hope your lilies come back next year. Yeah, they can be pretty devastating to the lilies.
Teresa Texter wants to know, is it a good time to transfer hostas and black-eyed Susans now?
The black-eyed Susans are blooming now, so it's not the best time to transfer them. It's always a good time to not. It's always better to transfer when a plant is not in bloom. Plants can kind of think of one thing at a time. They're either flowering, or they're producing fruit, or they're producing seeds, or they're producing roots. So you want to do that when the plant is, spring would be better for the brown-eyed Susans. You can go ahead and move the hostas anytime. Probably what I would do is tie up the leaves, dig the roots out, and then move them as quickly as possible. Get them in the ground as quickly as possible. If you're dividing them, then go ahead and divide them. Treat them as tender plants this year.
Okay. Another phone call. Diane is calling in from Minneapolis, I believe, this morning. Diane, thank you for waiting. What is your question?
Yes, I'm calling from Northeast Minneapolis. I'm calling with regard, I have a tree question. Before I ask my question, Danny, I would like to congratulate you on your 53 years with WCCO.
Whoa, oh, Danny, congrats. I didn't know. Congratulations.
Yeah, as I mentioned the other day, way back in the Jurassic period. Yeah.
No,
thank you, Diane. You've
been a star there, and I really congratulate you, and thank you for staying there.
Yes, oh, thanks, wonderful. Diane. Nice comments. I appreciate it.
Okay,
that.
But Teresa, I'm calling with regard to a catalpa tree question. Okay. I have a huge catalpa tree in my backyard. It's probably 65 years old. It's huge.
Mm-hmm.
The question I have, you know those beanie things that hang
yes.
on the tree?
Yes.
Okay. So, okay, one year, they were so thick on there, it was amazing. This year, I'm looking, I see hardly any.
Yep.
Now, another question I have is, in the spring, you know, oftentimes when the trees are, nature is receding these trees, you're always pulling little things out of your garden and out of the grass, these little trees.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Why have I never, ever, in all the years, ever seen a catalpa tree?
Well,
now, another thing is, the city is planting trees on boulevards, and I noticed they're putting catalpa trees in places. And it amazes me why they would put a tree of this size on a skinny little boulevard.
Right.
But anyways, my neighbor on the corner now has a new catalpa tree on the boulevard. Will that affect my catalpa tree? I mean, do you need another catalpa tree for making little trees?
You don't. So first of all, it's sometimes they get heavier pod seeding and sometimes it's less pod seeding. It's just a result. Like one year they use a lot of energy doing pods. Next year they may not have so much. We are coming out of a drought, so there has been drought for a few years, so the tree was probably stressed from that. And suddenly it's overwatered or getting a lot of water, so it's just changes with the trees. I've had this question before about catalpas not seeming to self-seed anywhere, and I think part of it may just be that the seeds are eaten by critters. They are protected, they are protected by the pod itself. And then I think they have a heavier seed coat, kind of like an acorn. So you don't see tons of oak trees either, even though oaks produce a lot of acorns. A lot of those seeds, they just die. They don't get planted at the proper depth. Critters eat them. So you don't get a lot of extra catalpas. And why would the city plant them? Cities are trying to diversify their forests that they have, their city forest. A catalpa tree is a real tough tree, with the seed pods and things like that. Maybe that's not the best for out on the boulevard, but then people just, rake it up anyway. They've got leaves to rake up. They rake up the bean pods. But I've noticed that a lot of cities are diversifying their tree forest population so that when something comes in, like Dutch elm disease or emerald ash borer, they don't lose the entire forest. Maybe some of those trees are spared. So that's why the city's trying to do a bunch of different trees. I've even seen tamaracks out on the boulevard, which just boggles my mind to have a tree like that on the boulevard. But in my area, they're planting a lot of them, and they're one of my favorite trees, so I'm not complaining. But, that's why you're seeing catalpas out on the boulevard, even though it's a big tree. But those roots can go under the sidewalk and into the yards and get their moisture and nutrition from there, too.
All right, very good. Teresa, this texter says, I had Carl Forster grasses in a nice 7-clump area. These clumps are now expanding and getting hollow in the middle. How can I get these back to where they begin, or do they need to be moved?
Okay, so what you want to do is, it's probably too late this year to do this, but what I would do next year is, as soon as the ground is workable, dig those clumps out, remove the hollow center, divide the clumps as you need to. If you don't want to divide them, then don't divide them. Just kind of squish it together a little bit and go ahead and replant them. Lots of perennials will hollow out in the center as they expand. They basically are dying in the center. All the nutrition's gone, and then they're expanding outwards. That's what normally happens in the wild, that decayed area that with all that dead growth in there would allow other seeds of other plants probably to come in and then take over, and they would then be happy in that area because all the decayed matter would have fed the soil, and then it just repeats the cycle on. So when you see your perennials being hollowed out in the center, it just means they need to be divided. I would probably do that in the spring for the Carl Forrester grass.
All right, very good. Let's grab another phone call. Catherine is calling in from Blaine this morning. Catherine, what is your question?
Hi, Teresa. Thanks so much for taking my call. I have a problem getting flowering plants to grow in my garden. It seems like they just they don't come back the next year. Is there such a thing as a cone flower that is more hardy? The colors, I understand. Is that right?
That's right. I'm Catherine. So what I would first of all do is if all of your plants are struggling, first of all, get a soil test done by the university. I can hear some of the other master gardeners out there, like maybe Julie, going, finally, she mentioned soil test. Yay. So get a soil test done. That will really help you know what your soil is doing and if there's some macronutrients or something that are missing. Cone flowers are hardy to zone 4, so they should be fine. Even the newer varieties should be fine for you. They should be just as hardy. I would also make sure that you're putting the right plant in the right place. Is it enough sun there? Is it getting enough moisture? Is it getting too much moisture? Look at that, those issues first, and then figure out what is growing and why is that growing and this is not growing. But that soil test would really be a good first step. And then when you do plant your plants, you know, the first year you plant perennials, they're very tender. Even though they may look robust, they're very, very tender. So you want to give them some extra protection going into the winter. Maybe that's a leaf mulch or something, or some straw or something once the ground's frozen. And then you do want to protect them in the spring from the rabbits so the rabbits aren't eating all that emerging growth. And the plant has to replace that and uses up more energy than it needs to. Those are just some things to look at. I hope that helps, Catherine. Good luck with your flower bed.
All right, Teresa, we'll take a quick break and be right back with the remaining minutes of our Smart Garden Show. 651-461-9226. We'll pick up on more text messages when we're right back with the remaining minutes of our Smart Garden Show. 651-461-9226. We'll pick up on more text messages when we come back. Just a reminder, next hour coming along after the 9 o'clock news break, get those deck questions ready. Filling in for Andy Lindis today will be the deck and porch specialist, Luke Panic, from Linda's Construction. So any kind of a deck question, you're welcome to call in or text in next hour, as well as your regular home improvement questions. So Luke for Andy next hour on News Talk 830 WCCO. And welcome back to this portion of our Smart Garden Show here every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour. This morning, Master Gardener Teresa Rooney answering those lawn and garden questions, of which there are still so many, Teresa. So let's see how many folks we can help out here. My two-year clematis got stepped on and broken off in my garage. I painted so sad. What's the chance it'll come up next year?
It'll come up just fine next year. The roots are fine. You'll be fine. It'll be
fine.
Oh,
good.
Yep.
When's a good time, texter wants to know, to prune my spirea?
Depends on what spirea it is. August 1st would have been the best time, but prune it now if you have to. If it is the bridal wreath spirea, do minimal pruning because that one already has its flower buds set on it, so you'd be cutting off the flowers. If you don't care about that, go ahead and prune it as you need to. If you've got some of those big shrubs that you do need to prune, go to the extension website and look under renewal pruning, and that will help too.
This listener says, ask this, can I use bags of topsoil for filling my ground tree stumps and then seed?
Sure, you can go ahead and do that. Yep, I would. Yep, just understand that all that sawdust that's left in there will decompose as it's surrounded by soil. So if you're putting in a new tree or something, there could be a nitrogen depletion and then a burn. But if you're just growing seedlings, it should be just fine.
Okay. When is the best time to move a peony tree? Listener wants to know.
Right now. Move it as quickly
right
as you can. Yep. Well, maybe not right now. You can do it at 11 o'clock today, but just do it as quickly as you possibly can.
This, I think, listener is a good candidate to check out the University of Minnesota website, which is fun anytime. I'm looking to plant a hedge across the front of our porch that I can maintain at 2 to 3 feet high max. Any suggestions?
There's a lot of suggestions, and what you might also want to do is head out to the Arboretum on 3 Mile Drive. They have a whole bunch of different hedges that they have pruned, and then you could look and see what they look like. If you're going to do this in the spring or fall, if you're going to do it in the spring, that's even better, because you can then go out there during the winter time and see what those hedges look like in the winter too. But there's a lot of different things that you could use for that hedge. And the extension website also has a really good landscaping design area. So look under the landscaping and then look under plant selection and design selection. It will really help you with some hedge information. And how you prune your hedge is really important too. So read up on that. That will help you to have a nice, healthy, happy hedge.
You being a master gardener, and we chat about being a master gardener from time to time. This listener says, if I become a master gardener in Hennepin County and then move to another state, will I need to get recertified?
It depends on the state. If you move down to Florida, you'd probably want to get recertified because the plants are so different and everything's different there. If you move to Wisconsin, probably it would just be a quick recertification. There's not certainly everything transfers. But each state has their own requirements, what they do for other master gardeners coming in. I would definitely become a master gardener if you possibly can. It's wonderful. And you get to talk to people who like plants, and that's just great.
Good question. I have a boomerang lilac currently blooming, Texter says. When's the best time to prune it? Hope to get flowers in the spring.
Then I would prune it right after it blooms in the spring. As soon as it blooms in the spring, that's when I would prune it. If you do any pruning now, of course, you're cutting off these flowers and you're cutting off the spring flowers.
Okay. This listener says, I have two morning glory hanging plants that I started from seed, and they are full of green leaves, but no flowers. What can I do to get flowers?
Stop feeding them. Stop feeding them. Yep. Do keep watering them. But if the ground is too fertile, if there's too much fertilizer, all you're going to get is leaves. You won't get any flowers. Those plants like a really lean soil, so never fertilize those plants, and they'll bloom better for you. So stop feeding them. Just keep them watered.
Listener in Wilmer wants to know, how do I get ready my rose bushes ready for winter?
Depends on how old and what they are. If they're hardy shrub roses and they've been in the ground a while, you don't have to do anything. If they're a non-hardy rose, you'll have to figure out when you're going to tip them or cone them. The extension website has some great information on that. If you've just planted them this year, I would definitely put up rabbit fencing as we enter into the fall, and then maybe give them a little leaf cover if they're a hardy shrub rose for you. If they're not a hardy shrub rose, then treat them as a non-hardy plant, and the extension website will tell you how to either do the Minnesota tip method on them or to cone them. That means putting like a cone of stuff over them that's filled with leaves. That's what coning them means.
About a minute and a half to go in the show, Teresa. Texter says, can I sink a hanging fern in its pot in the ground to overwinter to hang again next spring?
You can if the fern is hardy for us. If it's like a Boston fern, no. Or a Texas fern, no. You'll have to bring that in or let it treat it as an annual. If it's a hardy fern for us, then yes, you can sink that into the ground, keep it well watered. And I'd probably give it some top protection too, just to mitigate some of the freezing and thawing that would happen.
Okay. Another question. Why won't my lantana bloom?
It might not be getting enough sunlight. So make sure it's getting enough sunlight. If it's out in the full sun, we've had a lot of cloudy days, so that could be part of it too. But it's a full sun plant, likes it a little bit on the dry side. So maybe even back off on fertilizing it and let it get full sun. That might help it.
Just about out of time, Teresa. I want to remind our listeners, first of all, to get to the Arboretum whenever you can. Trust me, once you get there, you will want to return many, many times. And also, give us again that university website to check out.
It's extension.umn.edu. And remember, Master Gardeners are out at the State Fair, too. So you can find Master Gardeners out there. They'll be teaching classes, and they'll also be on the answer desk. So you can go up and ask them questions and see them.
Just a reminder. One week from today, Julie and John Trappi and I will be at the WCCO Broadcast Center at the fair. And Teresa, you and I will talk soon.
We will. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Teresa, Master Gardener Teresa Rooney. Got those deck questions and other home improvement questions ready for Luke Panic next hour. That's coming up on the Home Improvement Show here on News Talk 830. This is WCCO. Stay with us. Good morning. I am joined this morning by Master Gardener Teresa Rooney, doing all the heavy lifting, answering all those lawn and garden questions this morning, and I know we're going to have another busy hour. Good morning, Teresa.
Good morning, Denny. It's wonderful to be here with you.
I can kind of hear you. Kind of soft today.
Did it get soft again? I didn't.
Maybe. I think we're okay. I think
Are we
we're
okay?
Okay.
All right.
I think we're okay. Okay. Let's right off the bat, let's invite our listeners to join in. In fact, we're already getting text, which is not unusual. Call Teresa or send a text, whichever is easier, with any kind of a lawn or garden question you might have this morning. 651-461-9226. 651-461-9226. Could have a few scattered showers, like yesterday, as a matter of fact. But we should see maybe sunshine by tomorrow. But in the meantime, we welcome your smart garden questions for Teresa. What's on your schedule today, Master Gardener Teresa?
I'm taking a very easy kind of quiet day today. I'm not going to do much. I may wander around. I've got a few grasses that need to be planted, and I've been putting it off. So maybe I'll jump in just before the showers come and let Mother Nature water them in for me.
That's a good idea. A texter actually sent a text earlier this morning, and it's talked about. I'm not seeing it this year, fortunately, but my tomatoes, texter says, are cracking around the top by the stem. What could be the problem?
What happens when tomatoes crack like that is they've gotten a sudden influx of water, and they've grown so fast that the skins can't stretch and grow fast enough, so they actually crack. It's kind of like if you put ice or put water in the freezer in a plastic container, it could crack because it expands. The tomatoes are just expanding so fast. There's not much you can really do. Harvest them if they're near ripe and use them quickly. Cut out any parts that look bad. That's about all you can really do. And if you can then make sure that the watering becomes a little more even. And sometimes with our heavy rains, you can't do that. So we just do the best we can.
Absolutely. Again, 651-461-9226. Let's take a phone call. Todd calling in from Ramsey this morning. Todd, good morning. You are on with Teresa.
Good morning. We've had some beautiful sunflowers growing in our yard this year. They got up to about, they were all flowered. There were some of them were 6 or more feet tall. And I came out yesterday morning, and the flowers were gone, completely gone from the very tops of the sunflowers. I couldn't find them on the ground or anywhere nearby. What happened?
It could be raccoons at night have taken them. Squirrels can also take them if they're small enough. But I would say it's probably a raccoon or something that did that. I don't think the deer would do that. But raccoons and sometimes, you know, the squirrels and the chippies can take the flowers off. They just snip them off and then drag them away to eat all the seeds in a secret place where you can't steal the seeds from them.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah,
those wily raccoons, you're probably right.
Those crazy critters, yeah, they kind of get a little wacky sometimes. But, I mean, because the sunflowers are high in protein, and they might not be ripe yet, but the animals don't always wait till things are ripe. And we had such a mild winter that we have a high pest population pressure. So we're seeing some damage that we might not normally see. There's a lot of food out there, but there's also a lot of critters out there because their numbers weren't backed off a little bit over the winter time.
All right. Texter says this. What, or rather, when is the best time to transfer perennials like Asian lilies?
Okay, so if they're not blooming, that's a really good time. You want to do it, and you want to get them in, say, by the 20th of September into being transplanted. Now, I said I was going to do some grasses today. I probably won't because I'm lazy. I'll probably wait for a little cooler weather, maybe in 3 weeks or something like that. They're just in their containers right now. But you don't want to do it when it's super hot because that means you're stressed and the plants are stressed, and it's hard for them then to get into their new situation and grow their roots. Also, the sun, the heat is really hard on the plants. So do it when the plant is not blooming. Do it after it blooms, if you possibly can. And then do it when the weather's a little cooler. Hazy afternoons are great. Dig the hole. Fill the hole with water. Let the water drain out. This way you've saturated the soil around where you're going to plant. Put your plant in the new hole at the right depth, backfill, and then give it another good drink of water and just watch it. Kind of take care of it carefully for this year. Think of it as a brand new plant this year, even though you've just transplanted it. It's a brand new plant, so if you normally do winter protection for those new plants, do winter protection for that plant this year. And also protect it from rabbits and squirrels and things like that.
All right. Master Gardener Teresa Rooney answering those questions here in our Smart Garden Show this morning. This listener says this via text. Have you heard of using the water that you cook sweet corn and other vegetables to water your plants?
That's an excellent thing to do if you have not salted the water. Because as we boil our vegetables just get them a little bit softer, some of the nutrition in the vegetable does leach into the water. So then you can be putting that water into the soil. However, if you put salt in the water, you would not want to use that in your garden. That's like putting salt in your garden, and it could sterilize your soil.
Well, that's a good point. Yeah, don't salt the water. I tell you what, I'm getting signal here. We need to take a quick break. Invite our listeners to join in as usual. Any kind of a lawn or garden question for Master Gardener Teresa Rooney this morning at 651-461-9226. From News Talk 830, this is WCCO. And a good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show here every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour. This morning, Master Gardener Teresa Rooney answering those lawn and garden questions either by phone or by text, 651-461-9226. Speaking of phones, Teresa, we've got callers. Let's see how many folks we can help out before we jump back to the text messages. Gene calling in from Egan this morning. Gene, thank you. What is your question?
Good morning. I have a question about a couple of plants in front of our house. Three of these bright gold Japanese yew and one north wind Japanese maple. They're all meant to stay small, but they're in danger of growing up in front of our window. So I want to know about pruning those. How do you prune a bright gold Japanese yew, and how would you prune a north wind Japanese maple?
Okay, Gene, what you want to do is you want to prune them as quickly as you can. It would have been, the 1st of August is normally when we stop our pruning, but yews can be pruned or sheared pretty easily. So just prune them back to size, maybe just a little undersized for your yews. The maple, too, prune that as quickly as possible. And you can do that up until, say, like the 1st of August. I'll give you a pass and do it right away this weekend if you can. Just prune them to shape. Try to prune the yews back to where you can't see the cut. So you wouldn't leave like a stick sticking out. You'd prune it back to where there's a branch that could cover it or where it's already dividing. And that just kind of prune it that way. That will really help keep those in size. And understand they're supposed to be small, but they don't stop growing after, say, 5 years. They keep growing forever as long as they're alive. So you will have to keep pruning them every year. but yews and maples are easily pruned and easily kept to size if you keep on top of it. Good luck, Gene.
Oh, very good. Pat is calling in this morning, I believe, from Maple Grove. Good morning to you, Pat. What is your question?
Good morning. Yes, I've got lilacs all around the perimeter of my yard and back, and they've always been beautiful. And now they have some kind of, I don't know, they're turning brown. And somebody told me that there is a fungus out there for lilacs right now. And I was just wondering what I can do to make sure they come back next year healthy.
There's a bacterial leaf disease that we're seeing out there. It's like a fungus because we've had a lot of wet weather and our lilacs were stressed. We saw some a few years ago, but our lilacs were stressed from the drought from the previous years. Just clean up the dead leaves as best as you can. You can throw them in the garbage if you want, or you can send them to the city compost. But you can also go to the Extension website, extension.umn.edu. I believe they have some articles there. And the University of Wisconsin also has some articles, I believe, on the lilac, the bacterial leaf spot that we're seeing. The leaves do turn kind of brown and then they unblack and they fall off. Normally, the plants are going to be fine. If there's any dead wood, you can prune that out. And you wouldn't want to do any pruning on your lilacs now for live wood because you would be cutting off next year's flowers. So they should be happy and healthy next year. Hopefully they should recover nicely. Just clean up and try to get all those leaves out of there if you possibly can. Good luck on that.
You mentioned the UMM Extension website, and I'm looking at a text that says the lawn care calendar, which is great, by the way, on that Extension website says, now is a good time to aerate. Texter also read on the website, I should soak the lawn with about an inch of water a few days before being aerated. You think it's a good idea, and do you have any other tips? Aeration's great, though.
Aeration is really great if your lawn is compacted, which happens if you've never aerated your lawn before, or if you have children or dogs or pets or you're running on it all the time. That really compacts the soil. You want that soil a little fluffier so that the grass can grow more easily and look more lush for you. So yes, you would want to water first really well. You want those roots as hydrated as possible. And also then that helps the aeration plugs when you pull them out of the ground to stay a little firm as you pull them out of the ground. Then it will look like you had a cigar party out on your yard or goose droppings all over your yard. It'll look kind of awful for a little while because all these little plugs will be out there, these little bits of soil. But then they'll break down and the nutrients in them will then fertilize the lawn that is there. So it's a very gentle fertilizer. But it also just removes some of the soil so that the ground can actually relax a little bit.
And breathe.
And that's what we want. So definitely I would look at the Extension calendar. And if it's going to be a really hot day, I mean, we're only supposed to get like 82, 83. We're Minnesotans. We can handle that. Well, most of you can. I can't. But most Minnesotans can handle that kind of weather. But when we start getting into the upper 80s and the 90s, you don't want to be doing anything in your yard that's going to stress you or the plants. So if it's not stressful for you, go ahead and do it. But watering the lawn first is always helpful.
Yeah, good idea. Yep. Grabbing a phone call, Monica is calling in from Bloomington this morning. Monica, thank you for your call. What's your question for Teresa?
Well, good morning. My question is red clover. About a week and a half ago, I found red clover. Well, I didn't know it was red clover. It's on the edge of our lawn, just right at the curb. And I thought it was an allium at first because the flower was so big. But my iPhone identified it as red clover. And I'd like to transplant that into a pot. I know that sounds kind of funny, because most people probably think that's a weed. Mm-hmm. But I'd like to transplant it. And I'm just wondering, would I put it in dirt because it's already growing in dirt? Or do I treat it and put it in potting soil? Or do you think it would survive?
If you're going to put it in a pot, I use potting soil. So dig up as much of the root and the plant as you can. You don't have to take the soil off, but then in the container, use potting soil. That will help the plant to be able to get over to that potting soil. All dirt in a container gets too hard. It doesn't stay fluffy. Understand that it won't live that long in your container. It won't probably won't live over winter. But, yep, go ahead and do it. It's a pretty plant. I think it's a beautiful plant, and the bees love it. So I'd say go ahead and try it. Maybe treat it as an annual. If you want, you can then transplant it back into the ground and you know, by the end of September, and hopefully it'll take and live over, and then you can pull it up again next year. Good luck with that.
Teresa, as you know, we often recommend in certain circumstances checking out a skilled arborist. Question is, where do you find one?
Okay, so what you want to do is just Google. First of all, talk to your neighbors who have had any tree service done. Find out who they used and if they like it. I believe the Extension website also has information about how to go about to find a certified arborist. The university will not recommend arborist A or arborist B, but they'll tell you the process of how to do it. You can also, I was going to say, look at the yellow pages. Nobody has yellow pages there. You all know I'm from another century there. Just look online, Google art tree care in your city, and then look for certified arborists. Talk to a few. Get a feeling about how they are. If they have any references, use that. But look for ones that say certified arborist. That's what you're looking for. Good luck with
yellow
that.
Pages. Yellow, yes. Let your fingers do the walking. Remember that?
On the Google, yes. We don't have yellow pages anymore.
Not anymore.
Yes, not anymore.
All right. Hang on, Teresa. We're going to take a break. Have a look at that forecast. See what this coming week's weather promises to be. In the meantime, we'll have about another half hour of our Smart Garden show to go. Call or text 651-461-9226. From News Talk 830 WCCO. And welcome back to our Smart Garden Show here every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour. This morning, Master Gardener Teresa Rooney is answering those questions. And you know what I might be doing one of these days, and I hope our listeners do too, is get to the Arboretum.
Go to the Arboretum. It's so much fun. There's so much going on. This time of year, if I go, I head out to the 3 Mile Drive, and I go to the grass garden because I just love the ornamental grasses and just sit there and listen to it. But the prairie's looking good. There's all kinds of beautiful roses in bloom and dahlias. If you don't get to see any dahlias at the state fair, sorry. You could go out to the Arboretum and look at dahlias. There's just so much going on. They have great classes. They have art, sculptures. It's just amazing what you can do. There's tours. There's everything at the Arb. So go to the Arboretum. You know, walk the paths. Walk 3 Mile Drive. Drive 3 Mile Drive. Enjoy the mazes. It's amazing.
Oh, it's a great place. Love it.
It is.
I'm going to grab a text message, and then we'll get back to some more phone calls. Texter wants to know, is it safe to trim burning bushes now?
I think you could trim them now. I would double-check with extension.umn.edu. Most of the trimming you wanted to get done in the earlier part of August, because when you trim a plant, that causes chemicals to react, and then the plant starts to seal off that wound, or in some cases, it starts to actually put new growth on there. And then instead of using that energy to bulk up its root stores for the winter, it's putting on new growth that's going to be kind of tender and may or may not make it through the winter. So that's why we want it to prune earlier. But go ahead, do the pruning that you need to do as quickly as possible, as minimal as possible, and then double check with the Extension website.
All right, good idea. Back to the phones we go. I think Joni's first up here, calling in from, Joni's gone. Let's talk to Jeff in St. Cloud. Jeff in St. Cloud, good morning. What is your question, please?
Good morning. I got a lily beetle problem. We bought some lilies and that stuff, and they were beautiful, and we didn't know anything about the beetle. And then later on, we noticed that our plants were just devastated. They looked dark, and I bought some spray, but I think it was too late. Will my lilies come back next year?
They may or may not come back next year. We're just starting to see the lily beetle here, unfortunately. My sister even got it. She did all her resource and all her checking. She did a really good job at that, though. She didn't even ask me first, but she figured it out. But the extension service over in Wisconsin has a really good page on lily beetles. So you can Google Lily Beetles Wisconsin University and find some information. Lily beetles have a lot of life cycles. They don't just reproduce once. They reproduce many life cycles during the season. I'm saying that wrong, but so they'll lay eggs and die, and there's just a lot of them. They are very devastating to the lilies. So clean up as much as you can. They lay their eggs in the soil, I believe. Just try to stay on top of it, and hopefully then do read that page over at the Wisconsin University on lily beetles, and good luck. Hope your lilies come back next year. Yeah, they can be pretty devastating to the lilies.
Teresa, a texter wants to know, is it a good time to transfer hostas and black-eyed Susans now?
The black-eyed Susans are blooming now, so it's not the best time to transfer them. It's always a good time to not. It's always better to transfer when a plant is not in bloom. Plants can kind of think of one thing at a time. They're either flowering, or they're producing fruit, or they're producing seeds, or they're producing roots. So you want to do that when the plant is, spring would be better for the brown-eyed Susans. You can go ahead and move the hostas anytime. Probably what I would do is tie up the leaves, dig the roots out, and then move them as quickly as possible. Get them in the ground as quickly as possible. If you're dividing them, then go ahead and divide them. Treat them as tender plants this year.
Okay. Another phone call. Diane is calling in from Minneapolis, I believe, this morning. Diane, thank you for waiting. What is your question?
Yes, I'm calling from Northeast Minneapolis. I'm calling with regard. I have a tree question. Before I ask my question, Denny, I would like to congratulate you on your 53 years with WCCO.
Whoa, Denny, congrats. I didn't know. Congratulations.
Yeah, as I mentioned the other day, way back in the Jurassic period. Thank you, Diane.
You've been a star there, and I really congratulate you, and thank you for staying there.
Oh, yes, thanks, Diane. Nice comments. I appreciate it.
Okay, but Teresa, I'm calling with regard to a catalpa tree question. Mm-hmm. I have a huge catalpa tree in my backyard. It's probably 65 years old. It's huge. Mm-hmm. The question I have, you know those beanie things that hang on the tree?
Yes.
Okay. So, okay, one year, they were so thick on there, it was amazing. This year, I'm looking, I see hardly any.
Yep.
Now, another question I have is, in the spring, you know, oftentimes when the trees are, nature is receding these trees, you're always pulling little things out of your garden and out of the grass, these little trees.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Why have I never, ever, in all the years, ever seen a catalpa tree? Well, now, another thing is, the city is planting trees on boulevards, and I noticed they're putting catalpa trees in places. And it amazes me why they would put a tree of this size on a skinny little boulevard.
Right.
But anyways, my neighbor on the corner now has a new catalpa tree on the boulevard. Will that affect my catalpa tree? I mean, do you need another catalpa tree for making little trees?
You don't. So first of all, it's sometimes they get heavier pod seeding and sometimes it's less pod seeding. It's just a result. Like one year they use a lot of energy doing pods. Next year they may not have so much. We are coming out of a drought, so there has been drought for a few years, so the tree was probably stressed from that. And suddenly it's overwatered or getting a lot of water, so it's just changes with the trees. I've had this question before about catalpas not seeming to self-seed anywhere, and I think part of it may just be that the seeds are eaten by critters. They are protected, they are protected by the pod itself. And then I think they have a heavier seed coat, kind of like an acorn. So you don't see tons of oak trees either, even though oaks produce a lot of acorns. A lot of those seeds, they just die. They don't get planted at the proper depth. Critters eat them. So you don't get a lot of extra catalpas. And why would the city plant them? Cities are trying to diversify their forests that they have, their city forest. A catalpa tree is a real tough tree, with the seed pods and things like that. Maybe that's not the best for out on the boulevard, but then people just, you know, rake it up anyway. They've got leaves to rake up. They rake up the bean pods. But I've noticed that a lot of cities are diversifying their tree forest population so that when something comes in, like Dutch elm disease or emerald ash borer, they don't lose the entire forest. Maybe some of those trees are spared. So that's why the city's trying to do a bunch of different trees. I've even seen tamaracks out on the boulevard, which just boggles my mind to have a tree like that on the boulevard. But in my area, they're planting a lot of them, and they're one of my favorite trees, so I'm not complaining. But, yeah, that's why you're seeing catalpas out on the boulevard, even though it's a big tree. But those roots can hide, go under the sidewalk and into the yards and get their moisture and nutrition from there, too.
All right, very good. Teresa, this texter says, I had Carl Forster grasses in a nice 7-clump area. These clumps are now expanding and getting hollow in the middle. How can I get these back to where they begin, or do they need to be moved?
Okay, so what you want to do is, it's probably too late this year to do this, but what I would do next year is, as soon as the ground is workable, dig those clumps out, remove the hollow center, divide the clumps as you need to. If you don't want to divide them, then don't divide them. Just kind of squish it together a little bit and go ahead and replant them. Lots of perennials will hollow out in the center as they expand. They basically are dying in the center. All the nutrition's gone, and then they're expanding outwards. That's what normally happens in the wild, that decayed area, that with all that dead growth in there, would allow other seeds of other plants probably to come in and then take over, and they would then be happy in that area because all the decayed matter would have fed the soil, and then it just repeats the cycle on. So when you see your perennials being hollowed out in the center, it just means they need to be divided. I would probably do that in the spring for the Carl Forster grass.
All right, very good. Let's grab another phone call. Catherine is calling in from Blaine this morning. Catherine, what is your question?
Hi, Teresa. Thanks so much for taking my call. I have a problem getting flowering plants to grow in my garden. It seems like they don't come back the next year. Is there such a thing as a cone flower that is more hardy? The colors, I understand. Is that right?
That's right. I'm Catherine. So what I would first of all do is, if all of your plants are struggling, first of all, get a soil test done by the university. I can hear some of the other master gardeners out there, like maybe Julie, going, finally, she mentioned soil test. Yay. So get a soil test done. That will really help you know what your soil is doing and if there's some macronutrients or something that are missing. Cone flowers are hardy to zone 4, so they should be fine. Even the newer varieties should be fine for you. They should be just as hardy. I would also make sure that you're putting the right plant in the right place. Is it enough sun there? Is it getting enough moisture? Is it getting too much moisture? Look at that, those issues first, and then figure out what is growing and why is that growing and this is not growing. But that soil test would really be a good first step. And then when you do plant your plants, you know, the first year you plant perennials, they're very tender. Even though they may look robust, they're very, very tender. So you want to give them some extra protection going into the winter. Maybe that's a leaf mulch or something, or some straw or something once the ground's frozen. And then you do want to protect them in the spring from the rabbits, so the rabbits aren't eating all that emerging growth and the plant has to replace that and uses up more energy than it needs to. Those are just some things to look at. I hope that helps, Catherine. Good luck with your flower bed.
All right, Teresa, we'll take a quick break and be right back with the remaining minutes of our Smart Garden Show. 651-461-9226. We'll pick up on more text messages when we're right back with the remaining minutes of our Smart Garden Show. 651-461-9226. We'll pick up on more text messages when we come back. Just a reminder, next hour coming along after the 9 o'clock news break, get those deck questions ready. Filling in for Andy Lindis today will be the deck and porch specialist, Luke Panic, from Linda's Construction. So any kind of a deck question, you're welcome to call in or text in next hour, as well as your regular home improvement questions. So Luke for Andy next hour on News Talk 830 WCCO. And welcome back to this portion of our Smart Garden Show here every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour. This morning, Master Gardener Teresa Rooney answering those lawn and garden questions, of which there are still so many, Teresa. So let's see how many folks we can help out here. My two-year clematis got stepped on and broken off in my garage. I painted so sad. What's the chance it'll come up next year?
It'll come up just fine next year. The roots are fine. You'll be fine. It'll be
fine.
Oh,
good.
Yep.
When's a good time, Texter wants to know, to prune my spirea?
Depends on what spirea it is. August 1st would have been the best time, but prune it now if you have to. If it is the bridal wreath spirea, do minimal pruning because that one already has its flower buds set on it. So you'd be cutting off the flowers. If you don't care about that, go ahead and prune it as you need to. If you've got some of those big shrubs that you do need to prune, go to the extension website and look under renewal pruning, and that will help too.
This listener says, ask this, can I use bags of topsoil for filling my ground tree stumps and then seed?
Sure, you can go ahead and do that. Yep, just understand that all that sawdust that's left in there will decompose as it's surrounded by soil. So if you're putting in a new tree or something, there could be a nitrogen depletion and then a burn. But if you're just growing seedlings, it should be just fine.
Okay. When is the best time to move a peony tree? Listener wants to know.
Right now. Move it as quickly
right
as you can. Yep. Well, maybe not right now. You can do it at 11 o'clock today, but just do it as quickly as you possibly can.
This, I think, listener is a good candidate to check out the University of Minnesota website, which is fun anytime. I'm looking to plant a hedge across the front of our porch that I can maintain at 2 to 3 feet high max. Any suggestions?
There's a lot of suggestions, and what you might also want to do is head out to the Arboretum on 3 Mile Drive. They have a whole bunch of different hedges that they have pruned, and then you could look and see what they look like. If you're going to do this in the spring or fall, if you're going to do it in the spring, that's even better, because you can then go out there during the winter time and see what those hedges look like in the winter too. But there's a lot of different things that you could use for that hedge. And the extension website also has a really good landscaping design area. So look under the landscaping and then look under plant selection and design selection. It will really help you with some hedge information. And how you prune your hedge is really important too, so read up on that. That will help you to have a nice, healthy, happy hedge.
You being a master gardener, and we chat about being a master gardener from time to time. This listener says, if I become a master gardener in Hennepin County and then move to another state, will I need to get recertified?
It depends on the state. If you move down to Florida, you probably want to get recertified because the plants are so different and everything's different there. If you move to Wisconsin, probably it would just be a quick recertification. There's not certainly everything transfers. But each state has their own requirements, what they do for other master gardeners coming in. I would definitely become a master gardener if you possibly can. It's wonderful. And you get to talk to people who like plants, and that's just great.
Good question. I have a boomerang lilac currently blooming, Texter says. When's the best time to prune it? Hope to get flowers in the spring.
Then I would prune it right after it blooms in the spring. As soon as it blooms in the spring, that's when I would prune it. If you do any pruning now, of course, you're cutting off these flowers and you're cutting off the spring flowers.
Okay. This listener says, I have two morning glory hanging plants that I started from seed, and they are full of green leaves, but no flowers. What can I do to get flowers?
Stop feeding them. Stop feeding them. Yep. Do keep watering them. But if the ground is too fertile, if there's too much fertilizer, all you're going to get is leaves. You won't get any flowers. Those plants like a really lean soil, so never fertilize those plants, and they'll bloom better for you. So stop feeding them. Just keep them watered.
Listener in Wilmer wants to know, how do I get ready my rose bushes ready for winter?
Depends on how old and what they are. If they're hardy shrub roses and they've been in the ground a while, you don't have to do anything. If they're a non-hardy rose, you'll have to figure out when you're going to tip them or cone them. The extension website has some great information on that. If you've just planted them this year, I would definitely put up rabbit fencing as we enter into the fall, and then maybe give them a little leaf cover if they're a hardy shrub rose for you. If they're not a hardy shrub rose, then treat them as a non-hardy plant, and the extension website will tell you how to either do the Minnesota tip method on them or to comb them. That means putting like a cone of stuff over them that's filled with leaves. That's what coning them means.
About a minute and a half to go in the show, Teresa. Texter says, can I sink a hanging fern in its pot in the ground to overwinter to hang again next spring?
You can if the fern is hardy for us. If it's like a Boston fern, no. Or a Texas fern, no. You'll have to bring that in or let it treat it as an annual. If it's a hardy fern for us, then yes, you can sink that into the ground, keep it well watered. And I'd probably give it some top protection, too, just to mitigate some of the freezing and thawing that would happen.
Okay. Another question. Why won't my lantana bloom?
It might not be getting enough sunlight. So make sure it's getting enough sunlight. If it's out in the full sun, we've had a lot of cloudy days, so that could be part of it too. But it's a full sun plant, likes it a little bit on the dry side. So maybe even back off on fertilizing it and let it get full sun. That might help it.
Just about out of time, Teresa. I want to remind our listeners, first of all, to get to the Arboretum whenever you can. Trust me, once you get there, you will want to return many, many times. And also, give us again that university website to check out.
It's extension.umn.edu. And remember, Master Gardeners are out at the State Fair, too. So you can find Master Gardeners out there. They'll be teaching classes, and they'll also be on the answer desk. So you can go up and ask them questions and see them.
Just a reminder. One week from today, Julie and John Trappi and I will be at the WCCO Broadcast Center at the fair. And Teresa, you and I will talk soon.
We will. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Teresa, Master Gardener Teresa Rooney. Got those deck questions and other home improvement questions ready for Luke Panic next hour. That's coming up on the Home Improvement Show here on News Talk 830. This is WCCO. Stay with us.